This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Praise Allah, and we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is alone, he has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. A lot of you have heard Khutbatul Hajjah, or the words that we just started with in the beginning of lectures, but may not recognize the significance of the words that are being said, and the fact that there are actually at least one companion who accepted Islam when he heard Khutbatul Hajjah. Now, the words that a lot of times we just say and we don't give it any meaning, or when the speaker starts in the beginning and Alhamdulillah and Ahmadu, and we just kind of turn off and wait for him to begin to speak, these words actually led someone to accept Islam. Does anybody know what his name is? Huh? No? Anyone else? There's a companion by the name of Damama ibn Tha'laba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he was actually warned by his people, don't go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he's a madman, and perhaps he actually, someone performed magic on him, or something's wrong with him. So just leave him alone. And Damama ibn Tha'laba, he actually had some concern for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he thought that maybe I can go cure this man, because he used to perform some type of ruqya or reading over people. So he said, maybe I can cure this madman. That's what they told him. And so he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for that purpose, actually, of curing him. And when he got to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said some words to him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh," to the end of it. And he said, "Wallahi, I've heard the speech of magicians, and I've heard the speech of sorcerers, and I've heard the speech of the kuhan, which is fortune tellers." He said, "And this speech here can come from none other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. It has to be revelation. It has to have come from the Creator." And he accepted Islam. He stuck out his hand. He shook the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a form of bay'ah, or pledging allegiance. And so, when you hear these words at the beginning of a lecture, they should mean something to you. This is not the time right now to talk about the meaning of Khutbatul Hajjah, but maybe at some point in the future, inshallah ta'ala. Before beginning the lecture, I also think it's important that we recognize that this is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oftentimes, myself, other brothers, we speak about the distractions of life. I mean, the everyday distractions that people, and I don't believe that there is a time in history that compares to this time in terms of distractions. I don't think so. I mean, even not that long ago, if you wanted to be entertained, you had to go out the house to go to the movies or to a play or whatever the situation may be. And then the TVs came into the house. And so a person is able to watch whatever he wants and entertain himself and forget about life or whatever the situation may be, right there in the comfort of his own home. With smartphones and tabs and everything else, everywhere a person goes, they can entertain themselves. play games on the phone, internet, whatever the situation may be, watch movies, listen to whatever they listen to, 24/7, distraction. If that is not from shaitan, and if a person doesn't just take a step back and think, what do I do more every day? Read the news or read the Quran? What do I do every day more? Play games or read the Quran? I mean, subhanAllah, the book that Allah Azza wa Jal sent down as the final guidance for mankind, and yani, we kind of just push it to the side. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to be here right now, we have to recognize that as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him for that, because blessings increase with thanks and they decrease with kufran, denying them and not recognizing the fact that it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said that one day Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhuma went to the masjid and he saw some people sitting in a circle في حلقة في المسجد. And he said, ما أجلسكم, what is it, why are you guys sitting here? And they said, جلسنا نذكر الله, so we're sitting here to remember Allah, ذكرullah. So Muawiyah رضي الله عنه said to them, Allahi, ما أجلسكم إلا ذك, by Allah, there's nothing that you have sat down for except for that, like you're sitting in the masjid just to remember Allah Azza wa Jalla. There's nothing else, no dunya benefit or anything like that. They said, Wallahi ma ajlasana illa dhak, by Allah, we have only sat down to remember Allah. So then Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to them, Ama inni lam astahlifkum tuhmatan lakum. He said, I have not asked you to swear by Allah or asked you to make an oath because I don't believe you. Okay, I'm not asking you to swear by Allah because I'm accusing you of lying. He said, but one time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kharaja ala qawmin fil masjidi wa hum fi halqa. He said, but one time the Prophet ﷺ went out to the masjid and he saw people gathered. And he asked them, the Prophet ﷺ asked them, مَا أَجْلَسَكُمْ, what is it that has caused you to sit here and to gather? They said, جَلَسْنَا نَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ وَنَحْمَدُهُ عَلَى مَا هَدَانَا لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنَّ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا. They said that we have sat here, or we are sitting here remembering Allah and praising Him for having guided us to Islam and the favor of Islam upon us, or the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us by guiding us to Islam. And this, as a side note, it indicates that when they talk about dhikrullah, doesn't mean that they're sitting around in a circle saying Allah, 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 or something like that. They're remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, His favors, talking about Allah Azza wa Jal, reminding one another of Islam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahi ma ajlasakum illa dhak, nothing has caused you to sit here except for that, that you're remembering Allah. I said, Wallahi ma ajlasana illa dhak, by Allah, we have only sat for this reason, to remember Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Ama inni lam as'alkum, aw ama inni lam astahlifkum tuhmatan lakum, walakin atani Jibril wa akhbarani anna Allah yubahi bikum al-malaika." He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "I didn't ask you to swear by Allah or to make an oath because I don't believe you or because I'm accusing you, but Jibril came to me and he told me that Allah Azza wa Jal brags about you all to the malaika, to the angels. It's collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. And it reminds me of something else, and I'm sorry that to not get on the topic immediately, but I think that it's critical that we recognize the importance of these type of gatherings to remember Allah Azza wa Jal and to increase in knowledge. You know, the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal, it may seem strange that Allah would mention people who gather to the angels. But if you think about the first story in the Quran, what is the first story in the Quran? If you open up Mus'haf, huh? Again? Adam and Eve? Tayyib, before Eve. Just Adam. Yes, exactly. So, the first story in the Quran, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِنُ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قَالُوا وَتَجَعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. To the end of it. It's the story of the creation of Adam. And Allah Azza wa Jal is talking to the angels and telling them that He's going to create a Khalifa in the earth. And they said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to create someone who yufsidu fiha, is going to cause corruption in the lands. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, inni ish a'lamu ma la ta'lamu. I know what you don't know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning His ilm. Notice this, He's mentioning His knowledge. What is the virtue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Adam over the angels? Right there in the beginning of the surah. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. And so Allah taught Adam the names of everything. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And then He showed these things to the angels, okay, that He taught Adam the names of. And He told the angels to tell me what these things are. And كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If it is that you are truthful about what you said about Adam. To the end of it. The scholars of tafsir mentioned that the fadl, or the virtue that was given to Adam over the angels in that particular situation, was ilm, was knowledge. And so, when the people come together to get a piece of that knowledge, and to remind themselves of that knowledge, then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions them to the angels. It's almost as a reminder to the angels that, look, these were created with that virtue and they came together for that purpose. And so Allah Azza wa Jal mentions them to the angels. As it comes in another hadith that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, مَجْتَمَعَ كَوْمُ فِي بَيْتِهِمْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْنُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهُمُ السَّكِينَةِ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ نعم لا قبل ذلك وحفتهم الملائكة وغشيتهم الرحمة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. See, the Prophet ﷺ said that there is not a people who gather in one of the houses of Allah, يتلون كتاب الله, reciting the book of Allah, and studying it amongst themselves, except that there is a tranquility that comes down, sakina, that comes down, and that they are encompassed by the angels. And so we are in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal for the purpose of studying the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and the revelation. And so we should believe. It shouldn't be something that's like a far off theological concept. We should believe that the angels are surrounding this gathering that we're having right now, because we believe in the unseen. وَغَشِيَتْهُمْ الرَّحْمَةِ. And rahmah, Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy, penetrates the entire gathering. To the point that many of the scholars mentioned in the explanation of this hadith, that just by sitting in the circles of knowledge, it is a means of the sins being forgiven. Because there's no way that rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could penetrate a gathering and leave people without having some of their sins forgiven. وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them to those who are close to Him, the angels. And consider that. Consider what that means, because to bring the meaning a little closer, if someone does something that is praiseworthy. They didn't do it for the people to praise them. They did it for Allah Azza wa Jalla. But they did something that was good. They did something that was good. And someone else goes and they, for example, they post it on a website, or maybe it's on front page of the newspaper, and people are calling around saying, "Mashallah, did you hear about Fulan's accomplishment?" For example, whatever the situation may be, or something that he did. Person feels good that they are being mentioned by the people in a good light. People are saying good things about them, and they feel good about that. And all of you have had that experience, whether it's for your children, whether it's for yourself. But you know that when people mention you in a good light, it feels good. It's like, if Allah is with them, mentions you in a good light to the malaika, then is there anything that's greater than that? So, brothers and sisters in Islam, let us be diligent in seeking the knowledge of Islam. It's not something that we should take lightly. And we shouldn't expect that when you come for a gathering of knowledge, with all of the blessings that we talked about, the tranquility and the mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioning you and bragging to the angels, and مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever Allah wants good for, He gives them fiqh of the religion. You should not come to these type of gatherings with all of that reward expecting to be entertained, or expecting the whole thing to be something that's lighthearted. You know, Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala was asked a question, and he said, "La adri," I don't know. When he was asked, I don't know the answer to the question. So the person said, it's a mas'ala khafifa, was the word. It's a lightweight issue. And Imam Malik got upset, and he said, there is no such thing as knowledge that is khafif, that is light. There's no lightweight issues. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. We are going to send down to you a heavy statement. There are no lightweight issues. So again, we should come to these type of gatherings not expecting that we're going to be entertained, but expecting to learn something that we can take and implement in our religion. The topic that I've been asked to speak about tonight is a topic that's difficult to speak about. And even the scholars have a very difficult time defining exactly what this topic is. And you all know that the topic is a tawakkul, all right, which was translated as trust in Allah. I didn't translate it as that. I'm going to leave it as tawakkul for right now until we get to the definition that has been offered by many of the scholars. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us with at-tawakkul in many ayat in the Quran. And as you know, the forms of worship are not just ritual things or what may appear on the outside. For example, salat. Someone can see you make salat. Or someone can see you make hajj, for example. There are other ibadat that are qalbiyah, okay? They are from the heart. Now, the manifestations will be on the limbs, but those acts of worship, they start in the heart. And these are from the most important acts of worship. Those ibadat, or those acts of worship that are from the heart. And this is why Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, when talking about tawakkul, I'm going to read exactly what he said. He said, وَقَدْ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِالتَّوَكُّلِ فِي غَيْرِ آيَةٍ أَعْظَمَ مِمَّا أَمَرَ بِالْوُدُوءِ وَالْغُسْلِ مِنَ الْجَنَابَةِ. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us with tawakkul in many ayat in the Quran, more so than He commanded us with making wudu or making ghusl from janaba, which is the yani Jazakallah khair. Al-janaba is the state of impurity, the greater state of impurity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as important as wudu is, and as important as making ghusl is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us in the Quran with tawakkul more than He commanded with al-wudu and ghusl. So I'm going to mention some of these ayat, and hopefully you'll follow along inshallah ta'ala to see the importance of tawakkul. The first ayah is in Ali Imran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. طيب, in this ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so by the mercy of Allah, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ, يعني you were soft with them. And if you were harsh and you were rough, they would have ran away from you. يعني meaning the companions. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to pardon them and to ask Allah to forgive them. وَشَاوِرُهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, and seek their advice in different affairs. After seeking their consultation, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ, once you come to a conclusion, a firm conclusion on what it is that you want to do, put your tawakkul in Allah. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, then put your tawakkul in Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ المتوكلين. Indeed, Allah loves those who have tawakkul. المتوكلين. The next ayah, right after that, subhanallah. Think about the connection between the two ayahs. إِن يَنصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah aids you, then there is no one that can defeat you. No one. If Allah aids you, there is no one that can defeat you. It doesn't matter what they bring. It doesn't matter if the enemies from the east and the west come together with everything that they have. Numbers and preparation. إِن يَنصُرْكُمُ اللَّهِ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. Notice the relationship between this and tawakkul. وَإِن يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ. But if Allah leaves you, يَخْذُلْكُمْ, and the Arabs in general, they have different ways that they explain al-khudlan. But basically what it means is that at the time of need, someone just leaves you. They don't help you at the time of need. So if Allah Azza wa Jalla does not help you at your time of need, then who is it that can help you? وَإِن يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ. Who is it that can help you after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left you to yourself? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say after that? وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. So, upon Allah, let those who have tawakkul put their tawakkul. And I'm leaving it as tawakkul for a reason. But I want you to think about this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ, and in Allah, put your tawakkul. Or upon Allah, put your tawakkul. Is there a difference between, I'll use English terms like they have on the dollar bills. Is there a difference between in God we trust and we trust in God? What's the difference? Go ahead. Tayyib, exclusivity, is that how they say it in English? All right. Do you know the difference? Before we take something that you may be more familiar with. Do you know the difference in Fatiha? In Fatiha, you say, Iyaka na'budu, right? Wa iyaka nasta'een. Is there a difference between that and saying, na'buduka wa nasta'eenu bik? Right?
Mm. I just believe in Allah. Both must be
done. No, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But that's beside the point of understanding the words that are being used in this ayah. So Abu Mus'ab, jazallahu khairan, there's this concept of exclusivity. What does that mean though? What it means is that when you put the object before the verb, okay, then what it means is that the verb is exclusively for that object. Or if you use, for example, in this case, a prepositional phrase that would normally come later in the sentence, and you move it to the beginning, then at that point it becomes exclusive for that particular thing. So to use Fatiha and then go back to this, if you say, for example, Na'buduka, we worship you, right? You could say we worship you and we worship some other things. Okay, that would work from a linguistic perspective. But if you say Iyyaka na'budu, it is you we worship, then the meaning of that is that it is you alone that we worship, and that's probably why you see in a lot of translations they put alone in parentheses, or maybe they just put alone. So likewise here, Allah says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. Upon Allah, put your tawakkul. Meaning that you cannot put tawakkul upon anyone else. And the reason why this is an interesting point is because if we translate tawakkul as trust, right? Is it okay for you to then say, I trust you? Do you get the point or you don't get it? Because we can only, if we say that tawakkul is trust, and we can only trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, is it okay for us to say to someone else, I trust you? Well, here we get another point. Is there a difference between trusting in something and trusting something? But that's, and it really isn't linguistic gymnastics. I don't want you to think about it like that, because we have to also, just like we purify our hearts and we purify our worship for Allah Azza wa Jal, we have to make sure that the words that we use also are correct. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this in many different places. We don't have enough time to go into all of it right now. For the sake of time, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in some other ayat, we'll just go through them very quickly, inshallah ta'ala. He says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. And put your tawakkul upon, or in the one who is hay, who is alive and who will not die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ. And put your trust in the one who is Al-Aziz, Almighty, Al-Rahim, the Merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ كُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. So the believers are only those who, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, then their hearts tremble out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and out of the hope in Him. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And when they hear His verses recited, it increases them and their iman, and upon their Lord, they put their tawakkul. And many other ayat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith, which is considered to be one of the most important hadith as it relates to a tawakkul and understanding what tawakkul means. The hadith of Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, لو أنكم كنتم توكلون على الله حق التوكل لرزقتم كما ترزق الطير. If you were to put your trust or your tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way that you should, you would be provided for the same way that birds are provided for. تغدو خماصا وتروح بطانا. They go out in the morning hungry, on empty stomachs, and they return with full stomachs. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, in commenting on this hadith, he says that this hadith, because some people actually use this hadith to say, yeah, if you just put tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then don't do anything. Just sit around and wait for something to happen. And that's their concept of tawakkul, putting or relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, depending upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ahmad said that this hadith is not an evidence for that. As a matter of fact, it is evidence to the contrary. Because the birds go out in the morning for what purpose? Do they stay in the nest? No, they go out on empty stomachs for what? For the purpose of provision, looking for their provisions. And then they come back and they are on full stomachs. And so this hadith does not give any credence to those people who say that if you put your trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's enough, that you should not do anything, or you should not look at the cause and effect and these type of things like that. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the causes and He created their effects. So a person should go out and seek his provisions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he should not depend upon himself or his strength or his ability or his degree or his connections or his skin color or his nationality or whatever the situation may be. He puts his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he goes out and does the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the ability to do. So if we understand these ayat that we've heard and some of these ahadith, then it is important to understand how tawakkul relates to Islam and how tawakkul relates to one's iman. Can a person be a Muslim if he doesn't have the quality of tawakkul? What do you think? Yeah? So a person can be a Muslim but not really have tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can a person be a mu'min, a true believer, without having tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. But he can be a Muslim? Maybe. Let's listen to what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said about that. He says, I'll try to just go through it as succinctly as possible that we can get the concepts. He says that tawakkul is min lawazim al-iman wa muqtadayati. Yani, that it is from the necessary aspects of iman that a person has tawakkul. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Upon Allah, put your tawakkul, your trust, or your dependence, your reliance, if you are believers. Meaning that, if a person does not have that aspect, then they cannot be a believer. فَجَعَلَ تَوَكُّلَ شَرْطًا فِي الْإِيمَانِ. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, so Allah in this ayah has made tawakkul a condition of iman. And so that indicates that a person who does not have tawakkul does not have iman. We got that? Is that point clear? Tell you, what about Islam? In another ayah, وَقَالَ مُوسَى يَا قَوْمِ إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ. So Musa, are you familiar with the story of Musa and Fir'aun and the sorcerers and everything that was happening? Well, at that particular time, the people of Musa, they believed that Musa was upon the truth. They believed in Islam. Listen to these ayah. فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَى إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِّن قَوْمِهِ عَلَى خَوْفٍ مِّن فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِمْ أَن يَفْتِنَهُمْ. So only a few of them believed in Musa. Because they were scared of Fir'aun. They were scared of Fir'aun and his entourage, if you will. They were scared that they would be persecuted by Fir'aun and his entourage. وَإِنَّ فِرْعَوْنِ الْعَالِمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Fir'aun is he was a taghut, actually. Okay? He was someone who was proud, and he was from the transgressors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say after that, وَقَالَ مُوسَى يَا قَوْمِ. So now, we have this group of people who they know that Islam is the truth. And I'm not talking about the Islam as in the Sharia that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with, but all of the prophets were sent with Islam. So they believed that Musa came with the truth, but they were scared that they were going to be persecuted, and so they didn't want to go with Musa for fear that they would be persecuted. What is that a lack of? It's a lack of tawakkul. And so Musa said to his people, Ya qawmi in kuntum amantum billah. O my people, if you truly believe in Allah, فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا. Then put your trust in Him. Or put your tawakkul in Him. إِن كُنْتُم مُسْلِمِينَ. If in fact you are Muslims. Not if in fact you are believers, but if in fact you are Muslims. And that's why after this ayah, Ibn al-Qayyim says, فَجَعَلَ دَلِيلَ صِحَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ التَّوَكُّلِ. So he made the indication or the evidence, the proof that someone's Islam is valid, at tawakkul, that a person has tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. All of these ayat that we've listened to about tawakkul, but what is tawakkul? What is tawakkul? Can anybody give me, from what you've heard, from what you've listened to, what do you think tawakkul is? Even if you don't have a full definition now. Nah. Reliance upon Allah, Azza wa Jalla. Good. To depend upon Allah fully. By what?
You use them to follow the Prophet.
Great. Nice. So what the brother said, we have one that says reliance upon Allah. And the brother here says dependence upon Allah, Azza wa Jalla, by using the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani to do the things that you should do, but not that you believe in those means or not that you depend upon those means. You depend upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. Good. Anyone else? Tayyib. Yes. Good. Having good expectations from Allah. MashaAllah. Interestingly enough, each one of these definitions has been mentioned by one of the scholars, at least, if not the Sahaba themselves. Anyone else? To know that Allah has power over all things. They have mentioned that as well. Now. Again? Put your trust in Allah. Ayo? I didn't get the second part. You said to put the trust in Allah more than what? Okay. Fayyid. I'll get there. I'll get there, inshallah. Anyone else? Fayyid. Yes. Okay, so tawakkul has to be only for Allah, Azza wa Jalla. Nah. Nah, طيب, good. All of what was said was generally good, inshallah ta'ala. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he described the tawakkul. Take a step back. Like I mentioned in the beginning, tawakkul, because it is a matter of the heart, or because it is an action that is done by the heart, people find it very difficult to articulate the way that they feel a lot of times. Okay, so it's not, so you're not describing something that is, that you can see on the outside. And as a result, it becomes people's way of articulating what is felt in the heart is going to vary from person to person. This is why you're going to find that maybe no two definitions given by the scholars are the same. But they still give us a very good picture of what a tawakkul is. So instead of looking for a definition, then for tawakkul, maybe we should be looking for a description as opposed to a definition. Because the scholars of Islam, and before even in other sciences, they say that a definition has to be jami' mani', meaning that it has to be comprehensive but exclusive at the same time. And I'll give you an example, because I think this is important. I think it's important for us to understand certain concepts. So if you look at, for example, if someone asked you what a car was, and you said, well, it's a vehicle that has four wheels and a motor and a transmission. All right? I'll tell you. Is that a good definition for a car? I mean, is it comprehensive? Huh? A vehicle? A car. A car, you could say, is something that has four wheels, or passenger vehicle, okay, that has four wheels, a transmission, and an engine. Every car has four wheels, right? I'm asking, actually, but I think I'm right. Every car has four wheels, and it has a transmission and an engine, right? Okay, so that would be considered to be comprehensive. Yani, it's jamming, okay? But is it exclusive? Does it prevent other things from coming into the definition? So, for example, those little, what do they call it? The four-wheelers that people drive out in the desert, the ATVs or whatever, would you consider that to be a car? No. Most people don't consider those to be cars. But it does have four wheels, and it has engine, and it has a transmission. Okay? But it's not considered to be a car. So the definition that we originally gave, it was comprehensive. It included but it wasn't exclusive. It didn't prevent other things from coming into the definition. And so therefore, a lot of times when we look at definitions, because it's critical, every subject that you'll study in Islam, every Islamic science is going to start with the definition. And you need to understand why they start with these definitions, so that you can understand the science that you're studying, or so that you can understand the particular topic that they're dealing with. So with tawakkul, I don't have, nor have I found, a definition that I can just say is jami' mani', meaning that it is comprehensive and exclusive at the same time. However, the definitions that we do have, or the descriptions that we do have, will help us to get a better concept of what tawakkul is, and then what we can do to attain it, inshallah ta'ala. Tayyib, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah said that tawakkul is al-thiqatu billah. It is that you have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that you have confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah was asked about tawakkul, and he said, al-ridha anillah azza wa jal. It is to be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other scholars said, ara at-tawakkula husn al-dhanni billahi azza wa jal. Like Abdul Salam said, that tawakkul is to have good expectations, to good thoughts, good opinions about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the salaf was asked about at-tawakkul. Ma banayta amraka hadha min at-tawakkul. What have you done to develop at-tawakkul? And he says, or what is it that you see tawakkul to be? He said, there are four things. He said, alimtu anna rizqi la ya'kuluhu ghayri falastu ahtammu lah. He said, I know that no one else is going to be able to eat my provisions. Yani, whatever is for me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one else will get that. And so I don't put a whole bunch of hum. I don't become anxious over my risk. I don't worry about my rizq, my provision, because it's going to come to me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, وَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّ عَمَلِي لَا يَعْمَلُهُ غَيْرِي فَأَنَا مَشْغُولٌ بِهِ. And I know that no one else can do my actions for me, and so I'm busy doing what I have to do. I'm busy doing my actions or my deeds because no one else can do them for me. And I know that death is going to come to me, baghta, surprising me, unexpectedly. So, ana ubadiruhu. So I am going to race death in a sense that I'm going to do the things that I need to do so that I am prepared when death comes for me. He says, and I know that I am being watched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that I do. فَأَنَا مُسْتَحِيٍ مِنْ. And so I am shy of my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how he looked at التوكل. Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said that التوكل تفويد الأمر إلى الله جل ثناؤه والثقة به. It is that you surrender your entire affair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put your trust in him. And there are many other definitions. The most comprehensive of those definitions is a definition that is given by Abdurrahman al-Sa'idi rahimahullah ta'ala, who was, have all of you heard of Shaykh Uthaymeen? Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. He was the Shaykh of Qasim at that time. He was the Shaykh of al-Uthaymeen, Allah yarhamu, and the Shaykh of al-Bassam and other Mashaykh. He says that, and this will be the last definition, but try to wrap your head around this particular definition, inshallah ta'ala, because it is the most comprehensive of the definitions, and then we'll talk about how we can, what we can do, inshallah ta'ala, to gain tawakkul in our lives. As-Sa'idi rahimahullah says, the reality of at-tawakkul ala Allah, or true dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that the servant knows that Allah is in command of everything. So it starts with knowledge. Okay? And think about this, because as we talk about how to gain tawakkul, it's a process. Okay? It starts with knowing that Allah azza wa jalla is in command of everything. And that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to happen, wills to happen, then it's going to happen. And that whatever He does not decree will not happen. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that brings benefit and harm. And He is the one who gives and withholds. وَأَنَّهُ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And that there is no might or strength except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the aspect of knowledge, knowing these things. After this knowledge, he has to depend with his heart. يَعْتَمِدْ بِقَلْبِهِ عَلَى رَبِّهِ فِي جَلْبِ مَصَالِهِ دِينِهِ وَدُنْيَا وَفِي دَفْعِ الْمَضَارِ. Then he has to make his heart depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in getting the beneficial aspects of this deen and his dunya, and in repelling any harm. And يَثِقْ غَايَةَ الْوُثُوقِ بِرَبِّهِ. And he has to put the utmost trust in his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala in acquiring anything it is that he wants. And with all of this, his knowledge, and with his heart depending upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to put forth effort fi fi'l al-asbab al-nafi'a, to do the beneficial means that will help him to achieve his goals. And Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned a definition that was similar to the definition of Sa'idi. Tayyip, let's break that definition down very quickly. The definition kind of has three parts. Do you remember the three parts? Huh? I heard someone over this direction. Just one. Give me one. Tayyip, huh? Huh? Knowledge of what? This is critical because the Prophet ﷺ taught Ibn Abbas how to have tawakkul. And so we need to get it from this definition so that we can see it in his teaching to Ibn Abbas. طيب. Anyone else? No. In this definition of Sa'di, the first thing is what? Knowledge. But knowledge of what? That Allah is in command of everything, and that whatever He wills will come to pass, and that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not decreed will not happen for you. Type. That's the knowledge of what? If you want to talk about Jibril, for example, when he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked him about iman, what category does that fall under? The things that we just talked about. Iman in what? Tayyib, of course, iman bil ghayb. But what part? No. Huh? To know that whatever Allah wills. Ahsan, very good. It is directly related to al-iman bil-qadr. The belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla's decree. A person cannot have tawakkul. It's impossible to have tawakkul without having a proper belief in the qadr. And see, I'm mentioning this right now because a lot of time we compartmentalize Islam too much. To the point that, you know, we don't see the connection between things. You cannot have tawakkul without having al-iman bil-qadr. And the stronger your iman and the qadr is, the stronger your tawakkul will be. Alright, so that's the first part, is al-ilm. The second part is the heart. I'timaduhu ala Allah. That you make your heart truly depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you'll be tested. You'll be tested. You won't be left alone to say that you believe and not be tested. Times will come when you will talk about a tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how you depend upon Allah, and Allah will test you. Will you buckle to whatever the situation and the circumstances may be? Will you seek your rizq, your provisions from something that is haram? Huh? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you like that. Here it is, fadl. You wanted more provisions, or you're struggling and you need this. And so something haram is put in front of you. And some of the scholars, even though I didn't mention the definition, they said, at-tawakkul is to not disobey Allah in your seeking of risk, and you're seeking for provisions. So if a person seeks his provisions through means that are haram, then that indicates a lack of tawakkul. So we have that first aspect of knowledge, and then we have the second aspect of the heart being truly dependent upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then the third aspect is to do or to perform the beneficial means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you and given you the faculties to use to perform whatever deeds need to be performed. What time is the iqamah? Three more minutes. Alhamdulillah. So if you think about these aspects, all of them are mentioned in the famous hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ibn Abbas, Ya ghulam inni wa'alimuka kalimat. Oh young man, I'm going to teach you some words. And notice that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking to a ghulam. Ghulam is someone who has not reached the age of puberty yet. And so he's teaching Ibn Abbas these things while he's young, instilling in him this aqidah, this belief that the Muslim should have. He says to Ibn Abbas, ihfadillah yahfadhk, the famous hadith. If you protect the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. If you protect the boundaries of Allah Azza wa Jal, you will find him in front of you. Tajidhu tujak. Ida sa'alta fas'alillah. If you ask, then ask Allah alone. Wa ida sta'anta fasta'in billah. And if you are seeking assistance, then seek assistance only from Allah. And know that if the whole ummah ijtama'at ala yanfa'uk, If they all came together to benefit you with something, they will only benefit you with something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written for you. And if they come together to harm you, they can only harm you with something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written against you. رُفِعَتْ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجَفَّتْ الصُّحُفِ. The pens have been lifted and the paper is dry. The paper is dry. So, there are different aspects in this hadith. All of them go back to al-iman bil-qadr and then at-tawakkul and how to attain the wilaya of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yani how to become a wali. Now, I know that this term is used very loosely and it was not used at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sahaba, but it is the term that we would use as a muhsin. Yani the shar'i term. The legislated term for that is a muhsin. Many of us have very low aspirations for ourselves. Yani we don't, you know, we just are sufficed with the very least that we can do in Islam and not striving for more than that. But all of that depends upon your belief in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how you put your tawakkul in Allah azza wa jal, how that relates to at-tawheed, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you ask Allah alone. Tawheed. إِذَا اسْتَعِنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you seek assistance, then seek that assistance only from Allah azza wa jal. إِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ. That's ibadah. To be conscious of and be mindful of the hudud of Allah azza wa jal, those boundaries that He sent, that He made. تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهِ. You will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. You will find the protection of Allah azza wa jal. You will find, that is the what people will call a wali, what we will call ihsan, to the point that you worship Allah azza wa jal as though you see Him. And even though you do not see Allah azza wa jal, you know that He is watching over you. Like, what can we do to gain a tawakkul? If they want to call it adhan, fadl. Huh? Oh, I thought it was the time. Two things only, inshallah. Maybe we'll be able to memorize them. Two things to gain tawakkul. First is that you have to remove everyone from your heart except for Allah. And we'll talk about how to do that very quickly, inshallah. The second thing is that there are certain that you have to be constant in dua. And asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you be from the true, from people who have true tawakkul upon Him. And there are du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to say to help us get there. The first aspect is removing people from your heart. Huh? Everything from your heart. There's an interesting hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sana'a ilaykum ma'rufan fakafi'u." Whoever does something good for you, then compensate him. Whoever does something good for you, then compensate him. Okay. So again, just to recap, there are two main things that we look at to gain tawakkul. The first is that the heart should not be attached to any of the creation whatsoever in terms of attaining any good or repelling any evil. That it has to be related to Allah, or that the heart has to be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And in the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sana'a ilaykum ma'rufan فكافئوا فإن لم تجدوا ما تكافئونه فادعوا له حتى تروا أنكم قد كافأتموه." Hadith is very interesting and it has a very subtle point that needs to be recognized. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever does something good to you or good for you, then compensate that person for what they have done for you. And if you do not have the ability to compensate that individual, then make dua for that person until you feel that you've repaid them. Until you feel that you've repaid them. You made so much dua for them that you feel like, okay, I've repaid them, because Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to repay them with better than anything that you could give them anyway. Many of the scholars note that it is from Islamic etiquette that we compensate people who do good for us. But others have mentioned a very subtle point that is critical here. And that is that when someone does something good for you, your heart becomes attached to them. It's natural, because it is a natural thing to become attached to the one who has done good to you. And so you feel this kind of connection to them, or this type of attachment to them. But once you repay them, now you have cleared your heart again, so that the heart is only attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the extent that Islam goes to purify the heart from attachment to other than Allah azza wa jalla. And notice that once, and you actually probably have experienced this, when you owe someone something, you feel like you owe them something, then there's a feeling that you have in your heart. And once you repay them, there's a different feeling that you have in your heart. You become back on equal ground. Obviously, Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one that has given you everything in the first place. And there's no way that you can repay them. And so the heart should remain with that feeling of attachment to Allah Azza wa Jalla, because you can never repay Him for the things that He has done for you and the things that He has given you. And if you don't believe what I'm saying to you, all you have to think about is your own body, that you would not sell to anyone. If someone needed eyes and they said, I'll buy your eyes from you for 50 million, you're not going to sell your eyes for twice that much, or anything for that matter. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who gave you your eyes. There's no one you can repay. There's no way that you can repay Him for that. And the heart should remain attached to Allah Azza wa Jalla for that reason. And there are other ways that the believer goes about making sure that his heart is only attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are things that you should ponder as you read the Quran. Those are things that you should ponder as you read the Quran, because there are many ayat in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes Himself as the only one that can benefit you and the only one that can prevent harm from coming to you. And so those things have to be thought about. The other thing is be mulazamat ad-du'a fi kulli matlub, and that is that you make du'a for every single thing that you need. You make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you are constant in making that du'a. Some of those du'as, inshallah ta'ala, like istikhara, for example, is not enough time to go into istikhara and what it means, but many of you have heard of istikhara, which is the du'a that you make before a decision, that you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that decision that you make. And du'a al-istikhara could actually use its own lecture by itself to talk about the belief in qadr, and to the end of it that is existing in or present in al-istikhara. Another du'a, and this one is important, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or it was encouraged, the Muslims are encouraged to say this du'a every day, twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, من قال إذا أصبح وأمسى وإذا أمسى حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم سبع مرات كفاه الله ما أهمه. And this is collected by Abu Dawood with an authentic chain. It is narrated on Abu Darda, but the scholars, who's a companion, but the scholars say that what he mentioned in this hadith could not have been mentioned, or he could not have had this knowledge except that he got it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So is what they say, huwa mawqufun wa lahu hukm ar-rafi', meaning that it is stopped at the companion. The companion is the one that narrated it, but it is as if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it. He said, whoever says in the daytime or in the morning and in the evening. Hasbi Allah. Yani Allah is sufficient for me. La ilaha illahu. There's no deity and truth except for Him. Alayhi tawakkalt. I have put my trust in Him. Wa huwa Rabbul Arshil Azim. And He is the Lord of the great throne. Whoever says this 7 times in the day, 7 times in the night, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve him of everything that worries him. But you, it's not just saying it. It's not just saying it as in you're speaking Chinese or Japanese or another language you don't understand. You need to understand what you're saying. When you say hasbi Allah, Allah is sufficient for me. And you remind yourself of that 7 times, that there's no deity in truth except for Him. Alayhi tawakkalt, in Him I put my trust. And that you mention huwa Rabbul Arshil Azim. What is the Arsh? I mean, think about the creation of how magnificent the Arsh is. Think about how small the earth is. Think about how small we are in relative to the earth. So all of these things are meanings that should come to our minds when we say these types of du'as. But we should say them as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed Fatima radiallahu anha to say in the morning and in the evening, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika astaghith aslih li sha'ni kullahu wa la takilni ila nafsi tarfata 'ayn. This hadith is Hasan, or graded as a good hadith, Hasan hadith, by Shaykh al-Bani rahimahullah and other scholars. Ya Hayy, this is the name, a name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ya Hayy, Ya Qayyum, by your mercy I seek assistance. Rectify all of my affairs and do not leave me to myself even for the blinking of an eye. So this is another dua that you can learn to say in the morning, every morning, and in the evening, every evening before Maghrib, and to say it in the morning after Fajr. Likewise, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that this is a treasure from the treasures of Jannah. It's collected by Bukhari and Muslim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And understand what that means, that there is no might and no strength except with Allah Azza wa Jal. So you surrender your power to the power of Allah Azza wa Jal, and you recognize that everyone else is just part of Allah Azza wa Jal's creation, that they have no means of harming you or no means of aiding you with other than that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written for you. And then there's the dua of some of the salaf like Sa'id ibn Jubair, rahimahullahu ta'ala, who used to say frequently, Allahumma inni asaluka sidqa tawakkuli alayk wa husna dhanni bik. Oh Allah, we ask you to give us, this is the dua of Sa'id ibn Jubair, Oh Allah, we ask you to give us sidqa tawakkul, true dependence upon you, and to have good thoughts and expectations about you. Again, just to end it off, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever puts their trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, then he will find that Allah Azza wa Jal is sufficient for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the people who put their trust in Him. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for the one who puts their trust in Him, and He loves the one who puts their trust in Him, what station is greater than achieving the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and finding that He is sufficient for Him? That should be enough of an encouragement for us to learn more about tawakkul, to strive to gain tawakkul, and to put our tawakkul in Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Wallahu a'lam. Sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad.